Blog Talk Radio.
Ohio, Ohio.
Over here, I'm original. You can put your money on me, I'm about to go digital. Watch me turn nothing into something, keep it jumping, y'all don't hear me though. Used to try to treat a young nigga like a nigga was invisible. Now I'm feeling invincible. Cause over here, I'm original. You can put your money on me, I'm about to go digital. The speakers ain't the only thing loud, niggas smoking on medicinal. Catch me coming down on a cloud, black and mild, that's traditional. Get me feeling invincible. Cause over here, I'm a original.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome again to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. We back. It's been a long week in sports. Like I said, we're going to pick out the good, weed out the bad. Let's open the lines up to the guests. Looks like we got two already in. 8627, your line is open.
Yo, 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 Tay, what's going on?
What's up, fam? How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. Appreciate it. Oh, is that mic that's in there? Where everybody else at? 6011. The line is open.
Hey, how you doing? It's Mike Jr., EC Born, suburb raised, Mr. No Street Cred.
Oh, boy.
Welcome in, big home. All right, man. I heard Ryan told me he was going to be in later. Any of y'all heard from Meech? I know if he called it in or Chris.
I don't know about me since you kicked him off last week. I don't know.
So what do you get, man? Going rogue.
Yeah. No, I don't know if Meech going to be in or not.
All right, that's cool. Well, we're going to go ahead and start without him, man. First topic I had up for the show today, college basketball. Today was Selection Sunday. We saw who got them number one seeds. I really think Michigan State got snubbed out of that number one seed. However, I just wanted to pick a general topic. Do y'all think that the tournament makes college basketball more exciting than what it really is? I mean, because nobody was – I remember the year that Stephen Curry was playing for Davidson, and nobody really talked about Steph Curry or Davidson until the tournament time, and that's when it really – he really got all this hype. And the same thing for Carmelo and Syracuse. I see it happen every year. I know it's going to happen. So I just want your opinions on, you know, a little bit on college basketball. Y'all think that the tournament make college basketball more exciting than what it really is?
I say, yeah, definitely. I mean, because you're taking, you know, all the teams around, you know, pretty much the globe to highlight them on, you know, one big event. So, yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it definitely highlights, you know, teams that you may not have really even known much about. I mean, granted, you know, they're doing something right because they're in the tournament, but yeah, definitely does so.
Mike, what you think, man?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jontae Allen. I think it definitely highlights the tournament is much better than the regular season because besides the big name schools like Duke and North Carolina, Indiana and whatnot, and the MAC tournament, because I went to school there, like, you know, I wouldn't know anything about college basketball or the fact that Yale made the tournament. Like, who knew those smart kids could play basketball? So,
wow.
I think the tournament definitely hypes it up and involves more people, whereas whatchamacallit is just like, oh, yeah, you go to college there, so shout out to them type of thing.
I mean, it is a difference in cost, you know, like some of them schools, even though they make big runs, they end up owing at the end of the day to the NCAA. Those big schools like Duke, it's easier for them to get into the tournament and even take a loss to not make a deep run and still make money. you know, because they're a big school. They sell out for tickets. For instance, just a couple of stats. Duke make $10 million a year in annual ticket sales. Louisville make about $11 million in annual ticket sales. And then there's, let's see, who was that? St. Joseph make a little under $1 million in ticket sales, even though St. Joe's is the eighth seed, just four seeds under Duke in the same region this year. So, I don't know. I just, in my humble opinion, I don't think that it highlights. I do think it makes the casual fan, it makes it more exciting for the casual fan. But if people really watch college basketball, the conference tournaments is where it's at. That's where most of the action happens. So you got teams that you've been playing over and over again, just like you would see in the NBA, you know, in the Western Conference, and then it comes down to matchups. But, however, real quick, let's move it over, switch it over to the NFL. A lot of things happen over the weekend or during the week as far as free agency goes. One of the biggest things happened to me is Sean Smith went to the Oakland Raiders. So, shouts out to Oakland to pick up one of the best up-and-coming corners in the league. What's y'all thoughts on the free agency? Give me one free agency pickup y'all like and one free agency pickup y'all don't like.
I'll go ahead and shoot that at first. You know, I got actually kind of two up in the air that I kind of like. My first one I like is Mario Williams to the Miami Dolphins. I feel like last year, even though their defense didn't show out what they look like on paper, I feel like adding Mario Williams to the defense would definitely help them out. And ever since, you know, the Broncos won off the defense, I've noticed in the free agency a lot of people going after defensive players. And then my second one is Matt Forte. I think him combined with Brandon Marshall and the Jets sets their offense up to be more dynamic as far as instead of one-dimensional. And then my worst one I see, I think, is the re-signing of the Claw, a.k.a. John Pierre-Paul, to the Giants. The money they gave him, and he only got one off. It's ridiculous.
Go ahead, Tay. You next, Tay.
I know, for me, I like Marvin Jones going to Detroit. I think that was a real nice pickup for them because, I mean, the way it looked, you know, like as they said, he was kind of living in A.J. Green's shadow. So I really look forward to him, you know, blooming and really becoming a more coveted out in the NFL. I also like the fact that I think it was smart that the Buccaneers re-signed I can't think of his name now.
Doug Martin.
Doug Martin. Yeah. I think the fact that they
did
re-signed
they re-sign
him was,
Doug Martin?
Yeah, they re-signed him. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got a 5-year deal for $35 million.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
Yeah, he so I think the fact that
1,400 yards last year.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely, you know, keeping himself relevant, you know, for lack of a better word. But, yeah, he's definitely
right.
Doing it. I think that was smart to definitely keep him on the roster because that man going to still be out there beasting. And if they would have lost him, they would have took a big hit.
Hmm. All right, give me a bad one you like, a bad sign you like, Tay.
A bad one?
Mm-hmm.
Brock Osweiler to the Houston Texans. That dude is not worth $72 million, man. Not at all. Brock Osweiler.
Oh. Yeah, that is right. Hey,
yeah, 4 years
and
72 mil.
That is a deep contract. And he ain't really had that. Did he play the year before last? Before last
no.
year, the championship run? That's terrible.
No, I don't believe so. I believe I know he played 7 games this previous year, and I'm pretty sure Peyton was all right the year before. So,
all right, well, I'm going to go ahead with mine. I really – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to go with mine, man. I like Charles Johnson staying with Carolina, man. Carolina keeping it. They trying to keep everybody. They did lose Jared Allen to retirement. But they brought back Charles Johnson after, you know, cutting him because they was about to pay him like $13 million towards the cap. They re-signed him for less money. And he chose that, you know, so he can come back and win the championship. I think that's going to be one of the keys to them getting back to the Super Bowl if they are going to make that run. Also really, really like, probably I don't know if it's flying under the radar or not, but what's the boy's name? Not Vicky Cruz. Who was that? Sean Smith coming to the Raiders from the Chiefs. And then what's his name? What's that boy's name? The Brent Burns? No, I don't know. Bush.
Oh,
Jermaine Gresham.
Yeah. He went to the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Jermaine Gresham staying at the Cardinals because I think the Cards have a really high power offense, and I think them not losing anything that they have is going to allow them to stay up with the offense. You know, keep up with the Carolina Panthers and that NFC. I think that was one of two of the best signings. Well, three of the best signings if I include Sean Smith in here. One of the dumbest signings, I have to agree with Brock Osweiler. I totally overlooked that. That is probably the dumbest thing since. Or also, who was that guy that got signed up as a backup for like $10 million? Chase Daniel.
Oh,
a terrible signing. You don't, you don't pay $10 million for a backup quarterback. Just don't do that, especially one that's not even been proved before. Yeah, they paid him up as a backup to Sam Bradford. Hey, I don't know what's going on with Philadelphia.
Nah, they ain't. They was trying to clean shot from Chip Kelly, and right now I don't know what's going on over there. They doing a lot.
Let me ask you a question though, Tay. Would you like to see Matt Jones come to Cleveland?
You said Matt Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Nah. He can never yet.
Nah. Oh yeah, this is the one I was looking for. C.J. Anderson. The Broncos. The Broncos have 5 days to match that $18 million deal for C.J. Anderson, and the Dolphins ain't for him. And I just think, I don't know if the Dolphins is messing with the Broncos or what, but that's probably a dumb pickup too. C.J. Anderson is not he's a big back, you know, he's a good downhill runner, but I don't think he's, you know, the answer for the Dolphins. Why did they let the young guy go? Who is that? The young guy that
Lamar
they let
Miller.
Go to the Texans.
Lamar Miller, yeah.
They let Lamar Miller go to the Texans to pick up C.J. Anderson, I guess because now he got championship pedigree. But,
I guess.
Yeah. All right, man, moving on. My bad. I got to get this time down because the time from, like, me speaking to y'all hearing it is going to be a little different, so I got to get that down. Pat, my fault, y'all. But, yeah, last part, we're going to speak on the Cavs. The Cavaliers just won another game against one of the top teams in the NBA, blew out the Clippers. Clippers minus Blake Griffin for the foreseeable future. But a good game for the Cavaliers. It looked like a well-rounded game. Kyrie was playing at his best. LeBron James was being the man that he is and controlling the game, which I think he should really do every game. I'm not sure if he does it every game, but who am I to judge? My question is, how y'all think the Cavs is growing as a team and gelling and meshing together, you know, after going through the coaching change? I think last week we talked about Channing Frye, the week before, we thought that was a bad pickup, but he's been playing well. You know, he's been shooting over 60%
in his
game.
Nah, you're right about that. He definitely been playing well. I think I didn't have a chance to watch the game, but I was definitely listening to it in the car, and I think he said when he got in the game, I think he went for like at least 3 for 3 from the 3-point line, and by that point, like he helped in taking them from, you know, I think when it was like maybe like 1 point down or like just 1 point up, and it was like 10 points down before that,
to, you know, being 10 points up. And I was like, you know, just listen to that, like, wow, you know, that's definitely a big help. That's definitely somebody that you want in your lineup who can help add to stuff like that, stretch the floor, and actually be able to hit threes. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he had, like, well, he had 15 points from the bench. So I think that's, I mean, anytime you get, you know, I would say anything over 10 points from your bench players, I mean, I think that's definitely, definitely a good sign. So I agree. I think he was, if I read that right, his man was 5 for 7 from the three-point line. So
That's true. I was reading that, yep.
Yeah, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, just coming from the bench, I mean, that's solid right there.
Mike?
I'm not impressed. I know it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, and, I mean, they got LeBron James on his team, so I expect nothing less than the finals from them anyway, from being on the East. So, like the regular season, I kind of just look at it like, you know, they just let it go by when they go by. But then I look at things like you were saying, as far as on a team standard, I feel like they haven't got that click or they haven't got that merge yet where it's like a full team. Like, granted, I didn't see the game recently, but I did watch the game on Monday when they lost to the Grizzlies and they only had 9 players. So it's like certain things, like I see that, and then, like, you know what I mean, when you play a good team like the Clippers, like LeBron shows up and he dominates. And I'm not saying that LeBron didn't show up before, like against the Grizzlies, but as far as on a team standpoint, I feel like if they're going to play like that for 16 games straight, I don't know if they can, like, handle it when it comes to, like, when the games actually matter. Because right now, this regular season, I don't look at it far as like, oh, it's going to make or break the Cavs, because just knowing who's on the team, I know they can pretty much, you know, turn that on switch on whenever they're ready.
So do y'all think that the Cavs have improved since the beginning of the year? I mean, losing really bad to the Golden State Warriors and the Spurs early on in the year last year, towards the end of the year. Who did they play on Christmas? Was that the Warriors that they got smashed by on Christmas? And
yep.
Then they went through the coaching change. David Black got fired. They promoted to Ron Lue. How do y'all feel about their progress? Y'all think it's enough to get them over the edge? Or
I mean, as far as how it goes from the beginning of the year, I really don't see a significant improvement, even going from a coaching change. I mean, I really don't see a significant improvement. But, you know, on a micro level, I can say that I can see something, at least in these past couple of games. I know, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about Kyrie playing, you know, more defense, about Kyrie actually facilitating the offense and facilitating the ball, you know, and not just being LeBron doing it, you know. And if Kyrie start doing it, it'll take the team to a whole another level. And, you know, people calling Kyrie selfish, you know, and all that type of stuff. And then the report coming out about Kyrie not really being happy in Cleveland. I mean, I think all of that, like, a lot of that was just unnecessary. But I do agree with the fact of him, like, being able to facilitate the ball a little bit more, because he can get to the basket at will, just almost as easily as LeBron can. And then you just think, if you can get to that basket and you can kick it out to somebody who's going to be standing at the three-point line, it's probably going to be J.R., it's probably going to be Kevin Love, it might even be Channing Frye, you know, 3 people that you know, that you trust, to be able to knock down a shot. So I think, you know, him just upping that assist part of his game a little bit more is going to take us really to the next level. And I really think that he's starting to do that. I think he had 5 assists this game, which may not sound like a lot, but coming from Kyrie, from him having going no assist or 1 or 2 assists, I think that was definitely an improvement. If he keep it up, you know, it's definitely going to be a good thing for the Cavs.
But you don't think that maybe is the result of ball movement? I mean, because ball movement, I said this for years, you know, watching the Lakers and the Bulls run the triangle offense. The triangle is predicated upon, you know, sets. You know, it's not about, you know, one primary ball handler, kind of like the teams that LeBron has played on before, you know, with LeBron being the primary facilitator. LeBron has never really played with a pure point guard, you know what I'm saying?
Well, as far as facilitating the ball, I mean, I feel like that's something they really didn't – I mean, not facilitating, moving the ball movement. I really feel like they really haven't had as big of an issue with moving the ball. It's been plenty of games this season that I've watched where I've seen them make well, I ain't going to say plenty of games. At least since Ty Lue took over, it's been plenty of games where I've seen him make 3, 4, 5, 6 passes before a shot was taken. And it led to them actually having a more high percentage shot by the time that shot was taken. So as far as ball movement after Ty Lue, you know, had took over, I think that hasn't been an issue. I really think some of the issues being really just that whole hero ball, you know, that one-on-one, LeBron get it, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, everybody stand to the side like usual, or Kyrie get in, everybody stand to the side. It's like, come down, let's try to set up a play. The play fails, and we still got the ball. Okay, now it's just one-on-one, you know, rather than trying to set up another play or, you know, do something because that time clock is going down. But I really think, I mean, taking it to a hole because people go, they're going to collapse on Kyrie because they know he can do it. Kick it out, you know, go for that three or kick it out, make another pass. Maybe somebody else gets a drive and, you know, kick it back in. So there's a whole bunch of things, but the ball movement I really don't think was a big issue.
Hmm. Mike?
Yeah, I agree. They're getting, I think they, I agree. That's all I got. I don't know. Try to start sound smart, but it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. I agree with what you said.
All right, so let me bring up this. So Kobe Bryant said after the 120-108 loss to the Cavaliers on Thursday, you have to be true to you are, to who you are, and authentic. And I think that every team should have a lightning rod because the happy-go-lucky stuff doesn't work. I don't care what anybody says or anybody's perception of the team. You have to have that inner conflict. You have to have that person that's really driving these things. From a Cavs perspective, it's hard for me to tell far from who should be that person. LeBron ain't that person. He brings people together, and that's what he does naturally. He's phenomenal at it. But you have to have somebody else who's going to create that attention. Maybe it's Kyrie. And then Kyrie responded saying, hey, maybe that's me. I think that's he's right on the point with that. I think I'm that guy. It's in my personality, and I will be fine with that. What y'all think about that?
I think that's the damn problem. Stop listening to Kobe. This dude, stop listening to this dude. Man, this dude.
LeBron listening to Kobe.
Nah, man, stop listening to Kobe, man. Yes, nobody should be listening to this dude right now. I feel like, man, this dude, what he says may be true for him and what works for him with him and Shaq, you know, or just him and his teammates, period, over, you know, his career. But, man, that ain't something that's going to work for every team, man. This dude trying to have dudes in the locker room fighting over nothing, over who,
I don't think
who
that's
had
what
the ball.
He said.
I think ultimately, like, he telling somebody to be an asshole on the court. Like, why? What's the point for all that, man? You creating tension between your teammates. You think creating tension is going to be actually what's going to, you know, make things better? Nah, I can't agree to that. I can't agree with that.
Mike?
I don't agree with anything Kobe says.
Oh, man. I'm clearly asking the wrong group of people. But why is that?
I mean, not to go into Kobe, let's just stick to what we was talking about. But, basically, just like what Jonte was saying, like, you know what I mean, just bringing tension amongst the team. Like, ain't like they already got enough drama already within the team with LeBron James' cryptic tweets. And then, like, you know what I mean, that Kyrie is what is assumed that in, from the drama that's already in the news about Kyrie don't want to be there and he wants out and everything. He's not happy. And then for Kobe to come and say, well, you know, you got to, like you were saying, take the ball and control it. Kyrie could be that guy. And then that's just building another, like, wall on a team standard when they try to merge together. And I just don't think he's smart right now.
All right, I'm going to put my 2 cents in since y'all obviously Cavs fan and obviously don't like Kobe. I'm partial to, not to what Kobe's saying, but I'm not to it, Kobe in particular, not just because it's coming from him, but that's the reality. I've never seen an NBA championship where a team didn't have that type of inner conflict. And what he means by that, from what my understanding is that he's saying somebody that's driving the team, that's holding everybody responsible, you know, LeBron, like you said, is that person that brings people together. You got to have that dog in the locker room, like a Kendrick Perkins, like a Draymond Green, you know, like a who did the Lakers have? A Rick Fox or a Robert Horry, you know, that's on the team that's keeping everybody accountable, that's up everybody's behind when people are not, you know, people are upset about some tweets that LeBron had sent. Or when people are relaxing, people taking days off, people taking games off, people having attitudes. Even those Miami Heat teams had Juwan Howard, Udonis Haslem on the team, that LeBron and, you know, Dwayne Wade would go out of their way to say that, like, they were the heart and soul of the team, you know, to bring and drive, basically what Kobe was saying, have that inner conflict, that person that was, quote unquote, the asshole. You know, I don't think that he was saying, you know, hey, fight your teammates in the locker room. I don't think that's ever a good thing. And I don't think that that's what they was trying to get across. But it is true. You're not going to win no games, no team. And even Dwayne Casey, the Toronto Raptors coach, said, yeah, happy teams don't win. What y'all think
about
that?
The Warriors seem pretty happy.
Who?
So the Warriors seem pretty happy.
Oh, my gosh, shut up.
That's because they win it, fool.
Hey. That just
happened
last year.
That's cool. We'll see how they feel at the end of the season.
I'm not taking it personal.
I hate Draymond Green, man. Ever since you showed me that video of this dude, man, they suck. We win. They lose. Like, man, shut up, man. I can't stand that dude.
I think
did he really say that was after the championship, right?
Yeah, that was at the parade.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he won. He can say whatever he wants to, right? No?
I mean, still, man. Like, even Klay Thompson was set on the other side looking like, man, you drunk and everybody can tell right now. Like, dude, you embarrassing.
Terrible. Terrible. Come on, man. Everybody had them drunk nights. Me and you, of all people, should know that.
I mean, granted, yeah. That don't mean you got to like me. We all had have nights where we was drunk and, we wasn't friends at the end of the night.
We was friends, vibe, just man. In a different type of way.
Yeah, that's what you call friends. I guess so.
Alright, last topic, man. Let's go on to the mighty, mighty Warriors. The Warriors then won again. I don't know who they beat this time. Who was the Suns? They played with them. They
correct.
Shouldn't even make them play teams like the Suns anymore. Even though they lost to L.A., they still trying to go after the 72 wins. At this point, they would have to go, 15-3, 16-3 at this point to finish the season with 73 wins. Y'all think that they still should go after that, or should they rest their players? I mean, they just lost Andre Iguodala for 2 weeks for an ankle injury.
Yeah, that was crazy. I don't know. I think they should go ahead. I mean, if you really want to win, forget the record, man. Like, the record really – I mean, that's cool. That's nice to have. But the ultimate goal is to have another championship. It's like, really, what would – if you really had to choose between the two, which would you want? Would you want to have a back-to-back championship, or would you like to have 1 year of a championship and the next year of breaking a record but don't win a championship? Because that's going to play a factor into it when people are talking about it from, in the future. It's like, oh, yeah, they broke the record, but they lost that year. Like, really? How does that happen? How do you break the record and be the best team in the NBA and you lose? So, I mean, really, I feel like the best thing for them, if you really want to win, just play the smart role right now, man. Rest your players. Go ahead, make sure y'all all healthy and make it to the playoffs, and go ahead and then play your players then.
Interesting. Mike?
Yeah, I'm
going to study ESPN. Yeah, I definitely agree with what John Tay said. You know, I would play them super hard. Like, you know, I mean, you need to preserve Steph Curry, just like what just happened to Andre Iguodala, and then about a week ago, same thing happened to Steph Curry when Russell Westbrook fell on him. Like, you know, I mean, you never know what accidents or this freak accidents can happen to mess up used to start off great and just mess up everything. It kind of reminded me of, like, last year how Paul George was supposed to come out awesome. And then just off a freak dunk with the hoop being too close, took him out for the whole season, you know. And then you look at the Panthers in football, how, you know, I mean, they was going for the record. They stay in. But you see what happened in the Super Bowl. I mean, it might not have the same
effect. They didn't have an injury. They didn't have an injury. I don't think that game, I mean, that's different. I'm talking about NBA. I don't think we, like, I had to cut you off, but I think that was totally different. I'm saying, like, as far as injury, as far as keeping people healthy.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I would definitely rest them. Like, the 73, I mean, just getting the 73 is, like, they said they're, like, 43% chance at the moment to get it. And if that's super playing hard, and they got to play the Spurs three times. And with that playing the Spurs three times, I know Pop is not going to put in all his starters and play all three games straight out like a playoff series. So
that's
definitely rest the player.
Sure, I got the Steph one already, but this one is taking way too long. Yeah, I'm actually looking at some Steph Curry highlights right now and some him versus the Thunder shooting that half-court three and that sports science. I think that's it. Do y'all think that that's going to last? You know, Steph Curry lighting up the NBA like this?
Nope.
Yes.
Why not? Why not, Tay?
Ain't nobody,
Tay, go ahead. Why not?
Look, man, don't nobody stay that hot for their whole career for that long, man. He going to fall off at some point, man. Even Reggie
Ray Allen
fell off at some point. Yeah, Ray Allen fell off at some point. Like, all the great shooters fell off at some point. They may go down in history still as one of the best to ever shoot, which obviously I do feel Steph Curry is going to go down in history as that, even if he was to stop being a great shooter tomorrow. But the point still remains that he's a great shooter, but nobody lasts that long being that good. No matter what your talent is, if your talent is dunking, your leg's going to go out. Father Time is going to catch everybody, man. You look at Kobe. Like I said, I'm glad this dude is stuck. This dude is as horrible as he is right now. But did I ever think that I would actually see this? No. I thought that he was still going to be that dude that was still hitting game-winning shots, fadeaways and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, it ain't going to last. Give him a couple more years. He'll be back to normal.
Mike?
Back to normal?
I mean, I ain't going to say
he's
going to
be at his percentage that he is now where he hit 4 out of 10 half-court shots in a matter of a few games. I'm sure he's not about to be at that same level. But, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, from what I'm saying, like, I mean, he's, from that being his skill set, I feel like he's going to be he might not be that deep from a three, but he'll still be a dagger-hitting three-point shooter. Because, like, if you look at I feel like he's more like – he won't end up like Kobe. He'll probably be more like Vince Carter, who once his knees went
y'all,
out, you
y'all
know,
ain't
he
gonna
became
keep
a –
y'all can't keep taking shots at Kobe here, man. Y'all ain't going to keep on doing that, man.
I got to give a present example.
20 years in the NBA, nobody does that. That's the great one. You watch your mouth how you speak about the great one. Continue.
Well, Vince Carter is pretty close, actually. But
close to what?
So, you know, I mean, if you look –
close to
I
what?
I mean, he's almost 20 years in the league.
No. How many years has Vince Carter been in the league? What, 15, 16, 17? And we talking about 20 years in one team, too. Yeah, he came in 2099. I'm done. He didn't just say Andre Miller. Andre Miller, really? Oh, man.
What team is he on right now? I forgot.
He played for the Hornets. KB Tag. I think he just got the Timberwolves.
He just got picked up. He just went to another team.
Who he go to, a contender?
I think he did.
Google it right now. I know he did just get bought out by the Timberwolves, but the Timberwolves freaking
Spurs.
Kevin Garnett on there. Oh, he went to the Spurs.
Spurs, yeah, that's what it was. Spurs.
I don't know how much help he's gonna do. What is he gonna do? He can't. He gonna back up Patty Mills?
I mean, well. I don't know. Andre Miller, that one dude that still got game for real.
He still do, man. He got that YMCA game. Not too fast, not too slow. Feet always.
He got that old man Spurs game. So I guess he's on the right team.
They definitely the right team for that. I'm trying to figure out when he coming to the league.
Who, Vince Carter?
Nah, Andre Miller came to the league at 99.
See, Andre Miller is even younger than Kobe. And he feel like ever since he been in the league, he was older than Kobe.
I wouldn't say younger, but league-wise, yeah.
League-wise, right. Here's my thoughts on Stephen Curry and this shooting, man. I don't think that they're going to. Oh, go ahead. I didn't know.
Yeah, I got cut off when I mentioned Kobe. Yeah, pretty much. I think he I feel like his shot's gonna still be there. I mean, it ain't gonna be great. And because, like, you know what I mean, just like I was watching part of ESPN, they were saying how he's so good right now. Like, they got to raise his – like, right now he's a 98 on 2K, and they trying to figure out ways to raise his stat to be more realistic. So they got to, like, actually go in the computer code to make him hit more 35-footers because on a game he's not – it's really not possible to hit that many times. So they got to change the code to make him that good.
Unnecessary.
So. They got to keep the
that
game
is necessary.
That's why NBA Live will never be 2K.
You know what?
That's why NBA Live will never be 2K. It is necessary.
Oh, wow.
Let me say this about Stephen Curry, man. Look, I think that the dude's cold, man. He's amazing. What he's doing is probably unheard of, definitely unheard of. I haven't seen nobody shoot yet. However, there's only been really, 2 years that he really been, 2-3 years, he's been killing it. You know, he's been in the league. This is his fifth season. They're going to start looking to stop him, you know, and that's what this is, a professional basketball league. He's not just going to keep it up like that, doing that, killing the whole league like that. They're going to find a defense. They're going to start drafting players. It's going to be 80 Matthew Dellavedovas in the NBA on the squad to try to slow down or hurt Stephen Curry. And, not, you know, God forbid he get hurt. I'm not saying that that's, you know, what that they're trying to do. But I just think that the NBA hasn't caught up yet with trying to find a counter to Stephen Curry, like they did for Jordan, like they have for LeBron. You know, LeBron still gets his numbers. He's still LeBron James, but he's not, you know, 28 points straight in Detroit when nobody could guard him. You know, this is the NBA. Things happen. It's going to change. Not to say that Stephen Curry as a player is going to be the same. He's not going to be able to shoot those 30-footers with just ease. I just don't think he's going to get as many looks in the future. I think the defense is going to make him and force him to pass. They're going to make Klay Thompson be a better player. They're going to make Draymond Green show how good you are. You're going to have to get 100 tip for triple-doubles this year because we're not letting Steph just shoot us off the build.
But like you, I understand what you're saying, what you said when you said force him to pass. Steph Curry really is, he's a point guard, but I really don't consider him the point guard. He's more of like a Rip Hamilton because he moves off the ball. He, like, when he does get, like, a lot of his shots, if you watch the game, it's coming off the ball. It's not like him dribbling through a pick and roll and then splashing. I mean, granted, he makes those too. But, I mean, yeah, he makes those too, but a lot of his stuff is off of, like, backdoor screens or, like, double screen in the middle of the court, and he pops out to the half court and hits. So, like, I understand what you're getting at too, though, as far as your example of better defense.
Andre Miller was born in 1967. He's 39 years old. He's been in the league since 1999, correct. And he does play for the sport, San Antonio Spurs. That's a shame.
Andre Miller always looked old ever since he came in the game. Real quick,
right,
a throw-in really quick. Former Mississippi State quarterback, Dak Prescott. Wasn't he one of the top QBs on the board?
I think he was.
Dak Prescott? Well, not anymore, probably. He just got a DUI arrested this morning for driving under the influence in a Cadillac Escalade. And you know what? I'm going to just be honest. I thought he was a white guy until I heard he was driving a Cadillac. I said, oh, it's a brother.
Oh, he not a white guy?
Pretty sure he's probably still white. His name's Prescott.
But his first name is Dak. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
This is stupid, man.
I'm looking this dude up now, man.
Hey, you want to hear?
I didn't watch.
I thought Joey Bosa was black until I seen the Columbine. So,
wow.
Anything can happen from a name.
Wow. This dude is black.
Y'all think this is going to hurt his chances?
No.
Chances of being? No, not at all?
I don't think he's going to go in the first round anyway, so I still think he's.
Yeah, because he was being projected to go anywhere from, they said, second round to fourth round. So, yeah.
You want him on the Browns?
No. I don't know nothing about this dude.
Terrible.
Well, the Browns about to get Colin Kaepernick soon.
There we go. There we go. Right there. Problem solved.
I'm not touching on Calvin Kaepernick questions. Martavius Bryant from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe it's marijuana. They haven't said, but just last year, that's what it was for. He served filling the test with marijuana. And I don't know. The conversation is crazy to me. They're saying depressed. Life together here. I'm like, is that what y'all really saying, that this man can't play football? Because I mean, I understand it. If you're an NFL player, you should not take drugs. It's part of the job. Just don't do it. You know, it's your fault. Just like Josh Gordon, I said the same thing. But they make it like it's murder. Like it's. I mean, I remember when Ben Roethlisberger had that rape charge on him. How many games he missed? What, two games? They talking about taking this guy out for the whole season.
But he missed four games last year.
This is repeated, though. That's the problem. Mm. This is repeated. I can understand.
This is true.
So when it's like a one-time thing, okay, you know, let's understand this one time and let's move on and let's try to progress from it. But when you got a repeated issue, that's when I don't have no problem with them going through a one-year ban. That's why I had no issue with Josh Gordon's situation, because it's like, dude, you got caught once, then they made out the guidelines that said you have to follow these guidelines, and this dude did not follow those guidelines, whether he really knew it or not, and, you know, was drunk on the team playing. Whether, you know, the guidelines may have been stupid or not. Like, if you understand that these are the guidelines and this is not what you are supposed to do,
brother.
And you do it, it's stupid. So take it 1 year, go have a seat, brother. We'll see you next year.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree. But like he was saying off with the Josh Norman, I was listening to another station earlier today.
30
yesterday.
Seconds, brothers.
And they was saying how Josh Gordon missed his test by last year. He missed the test by 0.0001. He was over the normal limit of what he could have. That's crazy.
Terrible. All right, we want to thank everybody for listening in. Again, this is the Tiebreaker Radio Show, Over and Out.
We still got time. All right, y'all. See y'all next Sunday.
Thanks for tuning in. All right.